to what the Spirit's saying to the church. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for this body, Lord. And thank you, Father, for who you are. Because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you are our Savior. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. And our God's wonderful people say, amen. Are you agreeing this morning that God will do something great in the lives that we prayed for? Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know time, as a lot of people say, time is the enemy this morning, but time is not the enemy for me. We will let the Spirit of God move and let the Spirit of God direct us this morning. Are you with Him this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm still on the series on 7, on this Revelation and the churches of in Revelations, and we arrived at the Church of Philadelphia Church this morning. So bear with me this morning as I briefly go through the word this morning. I want to encourage you once again what the Lord is telling us here for us this morning. And we know there's a verse that is in all the 7 churches. It says, anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Are you with me this morning? The Lord has something for us this morning. And this is a good church that we're going to be looking at. There's no shots across the head. There's no beating or butt. It's good. It's a good church. We're going to be talking about a good church. And we want to, this is a model for us. This church is a model for us. We want to look at this church so we can actually model that church also. We can be that church. So this is a church that God, Jesus approved of here. So Jesus also gives their correction in all the churches, and we're dealing with the first century problem. But as we know, Jesus is speaking to these churches, and what he's saying today, he's also saying to you, saying to me, he's saying to this church as a whole. The church that Jesus is evaluating today is the 6th of the 7th churches, the Church of Philadelphia. There's only 2 of the 7 churches are saying that Jesus says has done a good, in the eyes of Christ, that considers saying well done in his presence. And this is one of the churches that Jesus says well done. And we look at it, it's called brotherly love, which means actually the Philadelphia church, which means brotherly love. And you're going to probably wonder, where did I get that brotherly love title? It is through the scriptures this morning. So the Philadelphia lies 45 kilometers east of Sardis, and today in the city of Alashahir, it's town of Turkey. Philadelphia was situated at the foot, this is very important, at the foot of the mountains leading to a Anatolis, and as such was the doorway, was kind of a missionary church for the Greek culture. So it was placed in a place that it was the opening where the people just walked in. It was called the missionary church for the Greek culture. But when you see what God was doing in that church, you will see that God was opening the door for the gospel. So this church was planted probably by the apostle Paul, so it was a small church. It was also a struggling church in the midst of an anti-Christian culture all around them. But the church doors were open to the world. And they became a model for the missionary church. And this is the model of the church for you and I. And this is the church that you and I need to look at this morning to model it. And this is the church that I want to look at. First one, it was Smyrna. It was one of the churches that Jesus said, well done. And this is another church, Philadelphia, he's done, well done. We want to learn from these churches how to apply this through our lives, but also to the other church to warn us not to do inside the churches. So we don't want to fail. The next church is pretty tough when he says lukewarm. We don't want to get there for now this morning, but we're going to talk about that one day. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. The scriptures will go up there. Read again. It says, write to the angels. This is John. Jesus writing to John. He's write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Who is the angel? It can be a leader, bishop, can be the pastor, whoever it is. So write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. The Holy One. Those are beautiful words. The true one and the one who has the key of David. Who opens and no one will close. And closes and no one opens, says, I know your works because you have limited strength. That's the key word later on there. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. And then he says, take note. I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not but are lying. Note this. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. And written in the New Testament, if you just stay there for a moment, written in the New Testament, I've underlined, I have loved you. Permanent love is speaking about here. Is I am loving you. I will love you because why? I have loved you. Here's the secret in verse 10. So Jesus said, I have loved you. Don't you want Jesus to say, I have loved you? Or I love you, church? Why? Because here it is. Because you have what? Kept my command. We thought it was going to be something extraordinary, difficult to do. But he has here, kept my command to persevere and also will keep you, and I also keep you from the hour of trial. That's something we're going to look at. Which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. See, I believe in verse 10, if you stay there for a moment, is reference to the great tribulation. This is yet to come upon the earth. The church is in that time we're facing persecution, a great persecution. If you've looked and we've read some of the letters there, from the hands of Caesars, and Jesus is looking beyond and speaking to the church, to his church in the future. He's speaking to us today in the future, and yet is to come a great tribulation, a terrible trial upon the earth. This is the non-elect, because you and I are elected. You and I are Christians. You and I are believers. We're not going to be here when the great tribulation comes. Yeah, here when you look at it and you read to those who dwell on the earth, it's speaking about those who are staying on the earth. But you have to go into the references and look and going more in deep to this. It's actually talking about the non-elected will be tested. The non-elect will be going through the great tribulation, because I'm not going to be here when the great tribulation comes. Jesus says that he is going to come and get raised up his church, the dead in Christ, and the church will go up there. So I'm not going to be in the great tribulation. The only ones who are going to be in the great tribulation is the one who has not accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, the one who has rejected Christ as the personal Savior, and this is not the church.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning? I don't want to face that great tribulation. I want to be ready for that day of Jesus comes and raptures and picks up the dead in Christ. And then who else? The church. First Thessalonians tells us about that. Look at that. Next. There it is. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then who are alive will remain, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So when reference in verse 10, it's not a great tribulation, the hour will come, that day will come, that the Jesus will come and take the dead in Christ, and the church will be raising up with him. And if you're not ready at that day, you're going to be here and you're going to be facing the greatest tribulation of your life. Are you with me this morning? And I want to encourage every one of you, we don't want to remain back. We don't want to remain here. Jesus gave us that exit door, and he said, here's the exit door. You accept me, you come to heaven. But that day will come when he will shut that door and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God anymore. Are you ready, church, for that day of Jesus Christ when he comes back? Are you ready for that day? So I want to encourage you this morning. Be ready. Thank God that that door is still open, that I can go through that door. Thank God that he's still there and he did not shut that door for you and I. Oh Lord, but that day will come that he will shut that door. Oh, I feel so bad for the ones who are going to stay behind. I feel so bad because they're going to face the hardest tribulation of time. Bad things are going to happen on earth. The rapture of the church. Every Christian should live with expectation that today can be that day. Yes, church, he is coming soon. And he's coming soon for the people of God. He's coming soon for the church of God. So be ready, church, because that day will come when Jesus will shut that door. And I don't want to be stuck behind. I want to be with him forever and ever and ever. Are you with me this morning? I'm preaching. Yeah, I might say, some of you might say, I'm a Christian here. I've accepted Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Examine yourself. Don't ever be sure. Say, just examine yourself again. And if you're not sure, ask him, Jesus, come into my life today. And the moment you do that, you have access to the kingdom. We must be sure, because the door is not always going to be open too long. So make sure that we are ready. As long as the door is open, there is still time, because there will be a coming of a time that the door will be shut. Have you ever experienced that? You're running to a store and all of a sudden that door is shut and you couldn't have entered into that place no longer. But that day will happen that door will be shut and you can't enter into that kingdom of God no more. And the ones who have the non-elected ones will remain and face the great tribulation. Let's continue. Verse 11. I don't want to take too much time on that. Here it is, verse 11. It says, I am coming quickly. Mm. So what is he saying to do? Hold on. Hold on to what you have. And now what you have is actually referring to verse 8. Is you have what did you have there in verse 8? It says, I know your works, but you have limited strength. Hold on to that, not your own ability. Hold on to the Holy Spirit. Hold on to the power of God. Hold on to my word. Hold on to the works. Hold on to that. Don't give up seeking me to what you have, so no one takes your crown. The victor, as you and I, the victor, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of God. You will not be shaken. You will be permanently in the kingdom of God forever and ever. And he will never go out again. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and from my new name. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the church. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, look at me. Look in verse 7 how he starts off. He says these things. He is holy. He is holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is holy, holy, and holy. So Revelation 3:7, it says, these things, he says, he is holy and he is true. He who has the key of David, he opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Our God is holy. You can bring up the next verse in Revelation 4:8. It says, look at this. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. Don't we sing that song? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So he's presenting himself that he is holy and he is true. He is walking in the midst of his children. He is sovereign over all. He is faithful. He is true. He is holy and true. That means God has never broken a promise that he has made to his children, that he never broke a promise that I made to you and I. Jesus is greater and bigger than any obstacle that you and I can ever experience in life, because he is holy and true and faithful. And it says this in Revelation 3:7. He who has the key of day is referring to Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. This keeper of the keys who hold, who open, and when no one will close, and closes, and no one opens, is referred to Isaiah 22, chapter 22, verse 22, is Eliakim, who was a steward of King David, the greatest king of the time. He was the ruler of all Israel. So therefore, he had the treasure of a house of David. He had the gold and possessed all the gold and silver, the royal treasure of the king. And he is the one who held that key to open that. Eliakim, as a steward, was one of the responsible for that key there. So when Jesus says, I am the keeper, the one who holds the hand of the key of David, he's referring, he's provided, that he is the one that will provide for every need of your life and my life. There is no provision that is not available to you and I. And you and I experience that. He always provided for you. He will always provide for you. Though many times may be dark, though many times you cannot see it, but he always provided for you. He has that key through heaven for you and I. And what did he say in Philippians 4:19? And my God shall supply all. It doesn't say half. It doesn't say a quarter. It says all your need. What? According to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Jesus this morning? That was a weak amen. Man, some of you might say, I love my wife more than you love Jesus. Get the other way around. I love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus more, you will love your wife more. I'm not afraid to say that. I love Jesus. What do you got to be afraid of that for? In a nutshell, Jesus is saying, you have me and you will be okay. We all need Jesus. We sing the song, Jesus be the center of my life, be the center of my house, be the center of my church, be the center. Jesus be the center, be the center. Be the center of all. He opens doors and no one can shut. He shuts doors and no one can open. And I remember that day. The pastor had called me and says, would you like to go and pastor in this church? I said, sure, we prayed about it and all that, but I didn't get all my resources and I didn't do all my checking up and all these questions. And all of a sudden when I went to that church, there was nobody. Nobody in that church. What a test that guy gave me. He sent me to a church as nobody. That was like a slap in the face for me. Wow. But Jesus says, if you have me, you have everything. And I remember those days, there was nobody in the church. And when I say nobody, it's nobody. There was only chairs and myself and the presence of the Lord. And Jesus referred to me many a times, if you have me and I open this door for you, no one will shut it. Amen. I open this door for you and no one will shut it. But Lord, there's nothing here. Don't you worry. I opened this door for you and no one will shut it. And I remember I used to be outside and looking outside of the window. I says, Lord, bring the people. Where's the people, Lord? And I'm alone looking. There's nobody in the chair. Lord, bring the people. And all of a sudden, the Lord has started bringing people and people and people and people. And all of a sudden, the church grew from 0 to 60 in not even a year. What does that tell you? When God opens a door, he will not shut it. Amen. If he says, I'm going to open it, and I will open it. If he says, I will shut it, I will shut it. And that's the same thing in the things of God. The door is still open to enter into the kingdom of God. But that day will come that he's going to shut it, and no one can open that door anymore. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for the return of Jesus? So I thank the Lord, and he told me, and he confirmed to me, I open that door for you, and don't you worry, I'll take care of you. New Hope Christian Assembly, if God opens, keep your eyes on Jesus and trust him. But make sure it's him. Don't force that door. Don't try to break that door in, because I guarantee you will shut it. Allow it. When he opens that door for your life, whatever ministry it is, wherever he calls you with, and you're certain it's him, don't you worry. There are people that might want to shut that door for you, the people that might want to discourage you, the people that might want to bring you down. There's people that might, the enemy will use anybody to just discourage you. It's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. But when he says, I will open that door, no one will shut that door, because he is holy and true. He is holy and true. Who is highly exalted. The keeper of the keys that can open doors for you and cannot even imagine. Trust God for those open doors. Trust him, even though it looks dark, even though it looks bad, even though you say, Lord, it's not possible. But trust him that the door is open for a reason and for that time for your life. But be guided by God. Trust him. Hold on to the word of God and continue doing what God has called you to do. I know some of us are in the ministry. I know some of us do things around us in our workplace, in our places, our work, all over. And you might see it's not working. If God had opened that door for you, you remain focused, continue doing what you're called to do, because that day will happen. You will see the results when God will pour the Spirit once again upon his people. Don't you give up when God opened that door for you. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. But you run through that door and allow him to use you in a mighty way. Revelations 3:10, just going faster here today. Because you have kept my command to endure. Because you have kept my command to endure. You were dedicated to me. In a nutshell, you are dedicated to me. I will open the doors that will blow your minds away. I will open that door you can even imagine. It's not possible. Go, oh, yo, I can't see that happen. But if God will open that door, you keep the word of God in your heart. You believe and you practice it and you obey it and you preach it and you teach it and you point people to the Bible and you point people to Jesus. When he opens that door for you, you will not fail because he had opened that door for you. You will be surprised and amazed what God would do in your life. If he opens the doors, don't worry. It will remain open. If God has opened this door here and it was done by prayer, if God has opened this door for this new vision and this new mission, let me tell you something. No one can shut it. I don't care if one will leave or two would leave. But if we know that God has opened that door for that direction, it's not going to move because God is in that picture. It's no one else. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I got to do, and we got to do what Jesus is telling us to do. And if you open that door for that direction, don't you get discouraged when someone tells you, it's not possible. Let me tell you something, all things are possible. When God opens that door, I don't care what you say because I know it's directed by God and it's guided by God. You might see a change in our church. You might see people walk away. It's okay. Pray for them and bless them. Let me tell you something. If you remain on this ship and you're going, the captain is Jesus, and he's going that direction, stay on the ship because you will see God will move in a mighty way in this place. I tell you something. It's not my words. It's not my words at all. I'm taking everything from the word of God, and I'm hearing from God daily. I'm hearing through his word. God says, I have opened that door for you. You just go ahead. Don't you worry. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. Just go ahead and do what I say. No one can shut the door because I have called you to that door. God's going to move in a mighty way. Pray for the ones who have left. Pray for them. And I say it. I hope they're listening. That God will open their hearts and their minds. In their eyes to see that we're not crushing the church of God. We're opening the doors for the people to come in to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are you with me this morning? It's about him. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. I was the one sitting on the pew for years. For years. And I was still passionate the way they say. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's about Jesus. It says in Revelation 3:8, I know your works, but you have limited strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know how many of us deny the name of Jesus? We don't deny the name of God because it's simple to say God. Everybody uses God. But you know how many times we denied the name of Jesus? And there's churches today don't even speak about Jesus any longer. They only speak about God. What are they doing? They're denying Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the only way. And that's the person that we need to speak about. To go to the Father, you got to go through Jesus. Very simple to go up to someone and say, hey, by the way, God is so good. And the person will interact with you. But when you start to speak about Jesus, who is this Jesus? They conflict right away. Very simple to talk about God. This is, they're not denying my name, the name of Jesus. We cannot deny the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus' name will always be preached in this church. Let me tell you, the name of Jesus will always be taught and be preached in this church. We will not remove Jesus out of this place. That's what we're here for. It's about Jesus. The church of Philadelphia was faithful to Jesus and his word. They kept the word of God and have not denied the name of Jesus. And I quote this, so important. The idea behind "have not denied my name" is not that they've expressed their allegiance to Jesus, but they've lived in a way that was fruitful. This is the key to the name of character of Jesus. They were faithful to Jesus. Why? They're fruitful to the name of the character of Jesus. They were humble. Church, we must be humble. Why am I saying humble? Because when the day you will see growth, remain humble. Because it's not us, it's God. It's not us, it's the Lord that's doing the move. Remain humble. That's a fruit. That is a characteristics of Christ. Obedient to the word of God. We're going to obey the word of God. Patient, they were patient. We must be patient. Though I want to see results today, though we want to see things happen right away, let's be patient. It's in His timing. They were a giving church. We must be a giving church. They were wise in the Lord. We must be wise. They were victorious. They were faithful and they were prayerful. They prayed. New Hope Christian Assembly, you and I will not debate the Word of God. We established that. We settled that a long time ago. I am not going to debate this. I am not going to water it down. You and I already settled it. This is what we preach. This is what we teach. This is what we obey. This is what we do, lead people to the Word, because they will lead them to Jesus Christ. This is the church. The Bible is what we do, is what we preach, what we teach, and where we point people to Jesus is through the Bible. They were faithful and fruitful. We are faithful and fruitful. We have said, I don't have debates here saying about the Bible, and that's good. Because we're believing all in the same word. And that's good. Though there may be few that are not with it and they want to debate with me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to debate with you. This is the word. I am not going to compromise the word. I am not going to water down the word. And you and I are not going to do that, church. We're going to remain faithful. We're going to preach, teach, obey, and point people to Jesus Christ through the word of God. Because through the word, there's Jesus. Amen? Are you with me this morning? This is the word of God. Infallible. Yes, which means incapable of error. It is never wrong. It's not wrong. And it's absolute trustworthy. Look what it says. 2 Peter 12, 2, 1, 9, 19. So we have the prophetic word. Strongly confirmed. Next, we see in Psalm 19, verse 7. What does it tell us there? The instructions of the Lord is perfect. Renewing owns life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. Making the inexperienced wise. Who says that God cannot take someone who can't speak, cannot hear, cannot read? And I remember one thing. Let me tell you this, because, you know, I was just discussing this, but I remember my mom. She didn't know to read the word. And it's okay, because those times, not everybody knew to read the word. Not everybody knew how to go into and understand the writing of the word. But I can tell you one thing. She quoted more of the Bible than anybody in this place, because they were hungry for the word. Even the unexperienced person, God gives them the wisdom of it. It's how hungry you are to know the word. It's how hungry you are, how do you want to know the word of God. Though you may not read, some of them are blind, but they still know the word of God. They hear the word of God and they memorize the scriptures and they apply it in their life and they obey it and then they preach it and teach the word of God. Do you know all the word of God? No. But if you take a bit at a time, day after day, just read a verse at a time, But the thing is, we don't read it just as a novel book. We read it, we apply it, and obey it. And then we preach the Word of God to someone who will experience this perfect world, this perfect Word of God, and this Word that is trustworthy. New Hope Christian Assembly, we will not sit around and have discussion whether or not the Word is true. We already settled that a long time ago. We know that the Word of God is true. We've kept our Word, and we're going to keep the command of God. New Hope Christian, the Word of God is about Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the Bible, and the Bible, and the Bible. We preach it, we teach it, we obey it, we live by it. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, nothing else. The church, we're dedicated to God's Word, and you and I are going to be dedicated to God. That's the church that God is looking for. The church that we're dedicated to the Word of God. That we preach it, we teach it, we obey it, and we live by the Bible. Revelation 3:8 says, I know your works, but you have limited strength. Now, what does it tell you here, limited strength? It's a good thing that they have limited strength. Because they do not rely on their resources, they do not rely on their ability, they do not rely on their building, they do not rely on their finance, they do not rely on their program. They relied on the Holy Spirit. Church, we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit and the move of God in our lives and in this church. Limited power, not by strength or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We can have, if the church grows and we have multiple programs, whatever you want to call it. But let me tell you something. It's about the Spirit of God. It's about Jesus. We're going to preach, it's Jesus' ministry. The children's ministry, it's a Jesus' ministry. The men's ministry and the women's ministry, it's a Jesus ministry. The worship team here that leads us every Sunday, it's a Jesus ministry. The preaching, it's a Jesus ministry. Everything in here, it's about Jesus. And nothing else and no one else, it's about Him. The Jesus ministry. That's something we might have to call it. Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. The Philadelphia church did not have much, but what they had is love for one another. God is not looking at the size of our building or the size of our budget or the size of our membership. God is looking at the size of our heart. He's looking at the center of our heart, and He was looking for the size of our heart that is filled with the Spirit of God. Because it is only the Spirit of God that can change the lives of people. You know what happens in our churches? We are so resourced. And we forget the most important part of it. It's love. And that's what people are looking for. Love. Love. And Jesus says, I love my bride. I love my church. I love my church. That's what He's saying. New Hope Christian Assembly, I love you. I love this church. Remain faithful. Don't you move. Keep the Word of God in your heart all the time. Well, go to the Holy Spirit daily. Allow Him to move in the church of God today. Allow Him to move. He says, I love you, church. But here's the thing. If He's the head, we are His bride. Am I right? I heard this years ago, and I wanted to share this with you. And it really struck me. Lily and I are married for 25, almost 26 years in May 8th of this year. 26 years, May 8th this year. 2019. Don't tell her that. 2019, 26 years. You know, we might say, if Pastor, you know, as the years pass, I love her more and more. And I'm not afraid to say it. I love her more and more and more. Deeply, more and more, even with the faults, it's okay. It may be my fault. We still love each other more and more. We grow with that love. But you can say as a church, Pastor, I love you. Your humor. You like to joke. You're friendly. You're kind. You know, I love you the way you preach. I love the way you walk. Anyways, I love whatever. You just say something that I love. Because I hear sometimes I love. But let me tell you something. If you don't like and you have something against my bride, something is wrong. It would not. It's a no-no for me. Because if Jesus is the head and we have something with the bride, you can't love because you have not experienced love. Because if you love the head, you will love the bride. If you love me, oh, Pastor, but your wife, snobby, this, it won't work with me. And it won't work with Christ. Because if you love him, the head, and we are his bride, we have a problem. So I'm telling you right now, if you have something with my bride, it's a no-no. And it won't work with me, because when women I find out, I will cut. And that's what Jesus is saying. I am the head and you are my bride. And I love, if you love me, I'm the head, you must love the church. That is Philadelphia loved each other. That's what it's called brotherly love. They loved each other. They cared for each other. They uplifted each other. They prayed for each other. They gave a hand with each other when it was time. It don't matter what time it is of the day, but they gave a hand with each other. And that's love. Looking at the faults and going the extra mile and to love your brother and sister in Christ. Amen. If you love the head, you must love the bride. It's pretty strong, but that's biblical. He loves his bride, and he loves you, and he loves me. Let's personalize this a moment. Jesus loves this church. And remember this, in all things that are going to happen in this church in the next year, it's about Jesus. He loves his church, and we love him. And I cannot imagine someone in this church or another church, that is not loving the church. I can't imagine that. Because if you love Jesus, the head, you must love the church. And I love my church. I love this body. Even though we make faults and we make mistakes and we say things that we're not supposed to say, I still love you because I love the Christ. I love the head. And loving the head, when you love that head, that love will just flow in our lives and flow outwardly to one another. I love my Christ. Do you love Jesus? Do you love your brother and sisters? Let me hear a better amen to that. We love our family. I love my church. Get out of this church today and you walk out and says, I love my church. Don't be afraid of saying that to your friends. I love my church. I love what God has given me. These are my brothers. We're not talking about a body. We're not talking about a build. We're talking about the body of Christ, amen, his bride. I love you. When you go, sister, have fun in Trinidad on the beach and zip that whatever you want to drink. I still love you, sister. Ginger beer. Or ginger, whatever you want to call it. Be grateful. Say, I love you, sister. Go. Bring me back a gift. Just go. Have fun. Oh, brother, I need help. I need help. I'm moving my house. Run. Say, can I offer you 5 minutes of my time? Amen. That 5 minutes can change. That's demonstrating the love of Jesus through our lives, through someone else's lives. I remember the other church that I moved one house. I helped someone move one house. And then everybody used to call me. As the pastor, I was calling the moving company, pastor moving company. They used to call me weekly. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And then I couldn't say no anymore. And then I had to just resign from there. It's not true. But you always stepped in and helped one another. When Don comes to me and says, Pastor, can I do the leaf it to me? You know, might find it cheesy. Leaf it to me is when we go around and rake the leaves. That's demonstrating love to someone's house that cannot go and rake the leaf. It's demonstrating the love of Jesus. Why are you doing this, brother? Who? Don. Because I love Jesus and he tells me to love you. Nothing wrong for that. How do you want a church of God? How do you want the community to experience the love of Jesus if we don't do it? If we don't share it? If we don't go out and just demonstrate the love of Jesus? You know, and I want to say, do you love your church? Do you love your church? You love your church? I love my church. And let me tell you something. Now this, I want to explain this. We have a wonderful turnout to the banquet. We have a wonderful turnout to the children's gingerbread house. Already 40 kids. This is a record for New Hope Christian Seminary. It might be even more than the Sunday morning service. But just to tell you, it's a record. 40 kids. And these are people, these are kids that don't go to church. These are kids that are from the community and from friends all over the place. If we can fill those places like that, how come we can't do it on a Sunday morning? How come we cannot go there and invite someone to the house of God on a Sunday morning? Why do we have to wait for an event to happen? If you love your church, you go out and say, I love my church. You want to come and experience Jesus through our church? This church, these pews, will be packed. They will be packed this place. If we can get 120 in a dinner, how come we cannot do it on a Sunday morning? Are you with me? Why? Because people are drawn more to food. Bring them to the spiritual food. That's what we need more. Is the spiritual food. That's what changes our life completely. Amen. The same passion we did for the children, the same passion we do for music, the same passion we do for the children and the Christmas banquet, let's have the same passion for the men's ministry, for the women's ministry, for the Sunday morning services. Invite, invite, invite so they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't wait for that event. If you love your church, you do your best to invite them on a Sunday morning. And I tell you, the church will be filled if we do our part. Church is for the ones who are far away from Christ. Church are for the ones who are lost, who are blind, who are hurting, who are down, who are broken, that want to experience something, and that is Jesus. Invite, 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 and invite. You will be amazed what God does in the life of people. Remember one thing, the door is still open. But that day will happen, that door will be shut, and I don't want my family to be left behind. Do you want your friends to be left behind? Do you want your family to be left behind? So do your best. The door is still open. The exit door is still there. He still gives us that door to go into the kingdom of God until the day will come that he will shut that door. And when you're in heaven, you will have your family member suffering and crying in a pit of hell for eternity. Is that what we want? I don't want that. So invite, 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 invite. You might say it's impossible. Then when invite, God would do the impossible. God would work in the lives of the people. Don't you worry. If he opened that door, he will make it a way for that person. Here it is now. So whenever you leave this place, say, I love my church. Say it. Do you? That was weak. Do you love your church? I love my church. That means the body, the brother and sister that's sitting beside you. I love you. What is Jesus going to do in this church? We want others to be loved by Jesus. In Revelation 3:12, I'm coming to a conclusion. Forgive me in a little bit of time, over time. It says here, verse 12, the victor, that's you and I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write him a name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from my God, and my new name. It says, I, the victor, the one, the victor is you and I, strong and stable in heaven, and a new name in the city of my God. Let me conclude with this morning, as just the musicians will come forward. We'll conclude with just a song and then we'll pray. What is your name today? Is your name the baker, the lawyer, the doctor, the nurse, the entrepreneur, salesman, or chef, or whatever it is? That's not your name. That is what you do. But what is your name? Maybe your name is a bad reputation. Maybe your name is shame or pain or the past, the pain of the past, or maybe brokenness, or maybe faithfulness, or sinfulness. Maybe that's your name. But he's saying this to the victor. He will give you a new name. Amen. To the victor, he will give you a new name. Doesn't matter what name you are today. If it's sinfulness, if it's brokenness, if it's pain, if whatever it is, he will give you a new name. Remember, he will never erase that name again. It's written in the book of life forever and ever and ever. Let's all stand this morning as we conclude this service. And I want to make this appeal of someone who wants to rededicate their life. Remember, that door is still open. He opened that door and that door is still open for us. If some of you, maybe one of you or two of you, or maybe some of you here this place says, I want to rededicate my life because, Lord, I don't want to stay out of that door. I want to make sure that the day will happen when you return, every eye closed, every head bowed, that I want to walk through that door with you, God. So if you just want to rededicate your life to him, just say, Jesus, please forgive me. Just please forgive me, Jesus. Re-enter into my life, Lord, once again.